The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It is another week of Everything You Need to Know. Kip Kiefer back from Las Vegas. I came to you from Vegas last week on the show, previewing the big debate. I talked about the Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity that was going to be coming down the pike. And since we spoke last, both of those things have taken place. And there's a lot of big storylines. And I want to just kind of in a rational fashion, talk about both of those events and the repercussions from what we saw last Thursday night in Atlanta at the debate. Joe Biden, the president, Donald Trump, the former president, you had them squaring off. Of course, they matched up in 2020. Biden was declared the winner of the election. We've talked a lot about the inconsistencies in that voting, and that is coming to fruition now in terms of accuracy, because there's been three or four major headlines in the last couple of weeks. And of course, depending on your news source, the best place to find out what's going on these days is what used to be Twitter, now Elon Musk's X, which has become a real forum for all kinds of ideas and different people that are, revealing a lot of information in an unbiased fashion. There's still the whole task of what you have to do to consider the source, and that those three words have never been more pertinent to the discussion than right now, because whatever you hear, whatever you read, you have to consider the source, because unfortunately, American media and information givers and the professionals are in a posture where a lot of times, depending on their network or their particular affiliations or what's best for them from a ideological and financial standpoint, that's the spin they're going to give you on information. So I like the fact that there is now, and God bless Elon Musk, who basically says this system doesn't work if there's not a really accurate source of information. And that's what I try to do for you here on TKR. And I appreciate Tony Curry for giving me the opportunity each week to come on and give you kind of a unfiltered view of a lot of the things that I see, because I spend a lot of time following this. I've always been fascinated with the American system, what the founding fathers conceived, and certainly have followed information and news media since, I mean, I was one of the oddballs in sixth or seventh grade. I wanted to watch the nightly news. I've always had a fascination for current events and major developments, and that has never left me in all these years that I've been haunting this planet. So, with all that being said, consider the source. That's the first thing you need to know here on the show, because again, it's all based on partisanship and beneficiary opportunities for the persons conveying that information. And there was a lot of the thought by the founding fathers that we could reach this point in a free and open society, in a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It is vital that you look for sources of unfiltered just the frank information that you need to make your decisions and use your own mind. We're far too busy. We're far too focused on other things. It's amazing to me. And I'll give you a quick example because here I go again, kind of getting off the track, but I really want to illustrate this point. I do sports radio, of course, as well. Tony and I have a college football show that is going to be really top notch this fall. Actually starts in the summer. We will be in full-fledged football mode in August because the opening weekend of college football, week zero, is August 24th. And all the SEC games start August 31st. But I've got some callers and followers from the sports world, from those shows, that know that I cross over and do politics and news. I do a lot of shows with my longtime partner, Terry Quillian. And of course, here on TKR, doing the Need to Know program. And I do a lot of posts on X, the Elon Musk forum, and also on my Facebook page. Every once in a while, I feel compelled to kind of update my 900 or so followers of things that are important to me and things that I have learned and things that I think they need to know, just like we do Need to Know here. But the point of all that is that a couple of these callers and people that follow me in the sports world have now crossed over and they've discovered my address on X, which is formerly Twitter, of course. I don't know how long we're going to have to say that. Musk has had the company for like 3 years, and even they still have X, formerly Twitter, in parentheses. But on X, it's a free exchange of ideas, and you get a lot of trolls that exist to try to refute things that you say. At least I think a lot of the mechanical responses that were on the former Twitter platform, you used to be, if you used any kind of catchwords that were political terms or names or any kind of, you know, for instance, Hunter Biden laptop would have prompted in the early days, before Elon Musk, and I say early days, just 3 or 4 years ago, but there were prompts that if you used a certain word or term, that automatically all kinds of counter comments would come up that were obviously not generated by people because sometimes they didn't really even apply to what you were saying. And I really didn't like the monitors on Twitter at that point would post, and maybe a lot of it was automatic, but at the bottom there would be like one of those yellow boxes, like a warning or alert sign that would try to like address, direct you to a different place if you were a reader, to refute the point that the poster just made in that case. In that particular case, me, that always aggravated the hell out of me because, again, I wasn't conducting political discourse. I was giving my opinion, and my opinion doesn't have to have any kind of qualifier, any like climate change. That was another one. If you said anything about the climate, there was all kinds of automatic comments and that warning label coming up that's saying this information is most likely not accurate or something of that nature, which free speech is definitely compromised if you can't convey your thoughts. And in my case, I don't parrot what I hear. I don't follow anybody's lead. I am not affiliated with any political party. I make my own opinions based on my reading and my research, and most of all, my common sense. And that is really what we've kind of lost in this society, in my opinion. We're in such a hurry. We have so much going on. We're not focused on anything in particular, kind of in a frenzy of just trying to get through a day. And common sense has really taken a severe step back. And that ties in big time what I want to talk about today. So we look at the debate on Thursday night. I told you inaccurately, and I admit when I'm wrong. I'm proud to say I'm not wrong all that often. But I told you last Monday on Need to Know that I thought that they would do the same thing to Joe Biden that they did for the State of the Union address. They had him all jacked up for that. He came stomping like a madman to the podium, didn't even go through the proper protocols of being properly introduced by the Speaker of the House, who welcomes the president in to do the State of the Union. He basically shoved Mike Johnson out of the way and just jumped into the podium and began a hostile, angry speech, just trashing mostly Donald Trump and just talking about things that they had accomplished and that they just don't understand the American people. They basically were chastising you and me because we're not paying attention. We're not getting the message on all the great things they're accomplishing. That was the message on that particular occasion. Since then, starting even the next day, we were back to bumbling, fumbling, stumbling, mumbling Joe Biden, who clearly, if you're paying attention, and if you are really paying attention, you have seen, and I have talked about it repeatedly here on Need to Know, what a problem it is that we've got a guy in the White House who is clearly in the rapidly advancing stages of dementia. I've seen it with my own mother. She was fairly functional for a couple of years. Once she got her diagnosis, it was obvious. It starts with really the inability to remember short-term things, ironically. She still had vivid memories for a long time of her childhood, and she would bring up things that happened 25 or 30 years ago, thinking they were just in the recent weeks, but something that happened a half hour ago, I sat with her and I had bought for the stay at my sister's where she was living there toward the end. We had gone to the grocery store and I had bought some ice cream sandwiches and I broke one of those out and I said, "Mom, you want one of these?" She says, "Oh, okay." And boy, she really enjoyed it because she, you know, never was really inclined to seeking out a treat. My sister got home 40 minutes later, and I said, "Well, Mom and I had a good time. We talked about the old times, and we had an ice cream sandwich." She says, "I didn't have an ice cream sandwich." I said, "Yes, you did. That was 30 minutes ago." So, but then you see the decline increase. It just seems like all of a sudden it goes from fairly functional to no memory really at all, starting to forget people. She had me at the end confused with her late brother who died about 35 years ago. So it's an awful thing and it's nothing to be taken lightly. And what's happening to Joe Biden to me is very reminiscent of that experience. And I know a lot of you and mostly every family has been touched by the horrors of your relative losing their mental capacity at the end and being deprived of their last years because of mental incapacity. But that being said, this guy's president of the United States. So I've told you many times on this broadcast that the big problem is you've got a figurehead, because anybody, I heard some talking head say a few weeks ago, "Well, this is just going to come down to the policies of Donald Trump and Joe Biden because they both have their personal problems and demons." You know, there's a concession even from the mainstream media that Joe Biden isn't 100%. But then you had this ridiculous lie being perpetrated on the American people. "Oh, Joe is so sharp. You can't believe he can get more done in an hour than anybody else can get done in a week. Joe is just on top of everything. He knows all the issues. He is just a dynamo when he's in the office," blah, 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 blah. And if you watched him walk to Marine One and babble some answers to shouted questions from reporters. If he's so sharp, how come he's never available for press conferences? How come he cannot answer questions? Why does he say, I can't answer that question, I'll get in trouble? He's president of the United States. He's the commander in chief. He's the has the most powerful position on the planet Earth. And yet he's going to get in trouble if he answers the question. Who's pulling the strings? Who is running this country? They talk about a threat to democracy. The threat to democracy isn't Donald Trump. The threat to democracy is a shadow government that you don't vote for and elect in a country that's a representative republic making the decisions. Who's running this White House? There was an article yesterday in Axios, which is not a conservative at publication at all, basically quoting a White House official saying, well, Joe's great between like 10 and 4. He's very engaged and seems like by late afternoon, he starts to fade again. That's last night on Monday night, if you may have noticed, he came out and commented on the Supreme Court decisions of yesterday, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But they had him come out at 7:45, and I know they did that strictly because the Axios article said the day before that he only was functional between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And as I mentioned last week, that's only the case the 3 days he actually shows up in Washington, because every single solitary weekend he goes to his Delaware mansion, his Delaware beach house. That's two separate places, by the way, or to Camp David. He always bails out either Thursday night or early Friday. Maybe he does one function early in the morning and then leaves for the weekend. It doesn't come back till Monday afternoon. So basically, you have a president that works Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, allegedly, from 10 to 4. That's not going to cut it. Remember the Hillary Clinton commercial that says if the phone rings at 3 a.m., who do you want answering that? What president do you want answering that call? Well, Joe is clocked out at 3 a.m. So maybe they've let terrorists and people, these evil proprietors of these aggressive governments that are our enemies. Look, if you're going to start any shit, do it between 10 and 4 because the president's not on duty the rest of the time. All the world is hearing everything that's going on. And if you don't think that has an effect on our foreign policy and all the things that are happening in the world under this watch of this administration, you're not really looking at it with any common sense whatsoever. They're taking advantage of Joe Biden's weakness. And you saw last Thursday night, the best way to put this is if you listen to shows like this, if you read X, if you Google things and go way down the list and find alternate opinions to the mainstream media opinions, which seem like on Google get pushed to the top of all the left rhetoric about what's going on and how Biden is in control and needs to have 4 more years. I'm not sure the guy has 4 more months of any kind of mental capacity at all. I'm not concerned with the 4 more years thing as much as the fact that he's got 6.5 more months as president. And everybody around the world knows that we've got a real vacuum in the White House right now. And it's very concerning that he can even finish this term, because what the point is that we've been talking about this week after week after week on this program and telling you exactly what is going on realistically just by observation and by refuting the ridiculous. Remember a couple of weeks ago, conservative media is distorting the Joe Biden film clips and what do they call them? Cheap fakes, that they were somehow editing things to make Joe Biden look worse. Well, if people bought that, when Joe Biden walked out on that stage Thursday night, to people like me and others that pay close attention to everything political and know exactly the daily, it's a daily occurrence, folks, where he says something completely off the wall. He goes into this kind of babbling, indiscernible language that nobody can understand. This is the standard for Joe Biden. All of this other crap that he's sharp as a tack and is completely in control. That's easily put aside by his actual performance that you can once again get in certain media outlets and on X, where people actually post the real truth. So all of that, all of the dodges they make, they now surround him and walk him to Marine One, so he's not really even visible of how much difficulty it takes. When he gets on Air Force One, he doesn't go up the big steps anymore. He goes in the very back of the plane up the service steps, which is only 3 or 4 wide steps, and enters the plane that way. It's all there for everybody to see, but so many people don't take the time to see it. So when he walked out on that debate stage and was stunningly ineffective and inept, it was like a bombshell breaking news to people that aren't paying attention. They've been taking and listening to and absorbing all of the BS that they're fed by the mainstream media, the White House staff, other partisan people in Washington, who it's in their best interest to have a Democrat administration so they can continue this seizure of our system of putting in place all these ridiculous rules and regulations and requirements, and also rewriting so much of our policy and our constitution, enforcing selectively our laws based on what's best for their agenda. It's all political right now, and it's got to stop, because the big difference between this time in history and previous times, you always had big contention in government in America for between the political parties, nowadays Democrat, Republicans, but you've even had third parties in the past that have been major factors. But there was one thing in common then that's not in common now. They all had a belief in America and the American system. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, elected first in 1932, was a president that was certainly far left in his viewpoint, but there was no question he loved America and loved the conception of our government. And that's the big difference in modern far left leaders that talk about this being the most evil country in the world and we have got to completely overhaul it. Remember when Barack Obama's first inaugural address, when he was elected president, he talked about it's time for the transformation of America. America, like any other entity, needs to be updated and progressive and transformed, but that doesn't mean you overhaul the whole system and change all of the founding principles to achieve some kind of a wild left-wing globalist New World Order agenda. And that's what's been going on before our eyes by a real collection of evil bedfellows that are bent on one kind of common goal, even though their particular interests are completely different. And the common goal, of course, is to take away this standard for freedom and liberty and individual rights for citizens. That is what America stands on. They want us to just be just like a Marxist country with a huge central government that owns all the industry, that dictates everything in terms of your daily lives, what you can do, what you can't do, what you need to do for a living, what you need to drive, where you can go, what you're allowed to do. And if you want to live in that kind of country, then stay on the track with these leftists who want to create that kind of environment. So Joe Biden comes on completely inept. People recognize it right away in just straight discourse. He has absolutely no ability to function. And this is a guy who just came from the G7 summit a couple of weeks ago with all the other world leaders. It got out. It was leaked that several of them said, wow, he is so much worse than he was before. They're concerned for their countries because they can't have a weak leader in Washington and expect the same kind of support and different things that they find vital for their countries to function. And Joe Biden is just so obviously not up to the job at this point. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's 81. I talk about William Shatner, Captain Kirk, all the time. He's 93 and he's hosting two different television shows right now. It's not the number, it's the decline of cognitive ability. And Joe Biden is definitely in the throes of that. And let me just point out, too, as a sage observer of politics, Joe Biden in his prime 25, 30 years ago wasn't anywhere near the sharpest tool in the shed. In fact, this is a guy who has never had a real job. He did not, as he claims, graduate near the top of his class at the University of Delaware. In fact, he barely slid by. He got elected to a city council position as a 20-something and somehow shocked the world and was elected to Congress at the age of 30. And he has worked in Washington ever since, 51 years as a congressman and then a senator, vice president, and now president. Never had a real job. He's a politician through and through. We won't even talk about the corruption of his family. I'll get into that in just a moment, real quick. But the shock that other Democrats have that have really bought the banana that Joe Biden was a sharp leader and was going to go out and prove it to everybody at this particular debate, which I think was just a showcase for people that knew that Joe Biden wasn't up to the job, could not stand the rigors of a campaign, and was not going to be electable based on continuing bad polling that's showing that he's losing significantly in every major swing state, which decides the elections. I think they trotted him out there to show others and the American people that they needed to go a different direction. But the problem with that is they cannot pluck a white male into that position. And I'm just going to be frank and tell you, because with Kamala Harris as the vice president, they can't, based on their DEI policies and all the things they try and sell, they cannot skip over the vice president in favor of a Gavin Newsom or a Pete Buttigieg or any other. The governor now of Maryland is a guy that's getting talked about. They would have to almost certainly go to Kamala Harris, and her poll numbers are worse than the president. So they're in a real pickle right now of what to do. And of course, the Biden family met on Sunday at Camp David and urged him to continue the fight. Go forward, young man. That was just a bad 90 minutes. Your presidency, they've been blowing smoke into Joe for months and years during this presidency of how great a job he's doing. And Joe really believes that the country's made huge progress. But if you go to the grocery store and spend $50 now for what used to cost you 20 just 3 or 4 years ago, you know things aren't going very well. And you look around all the problems around the world, all the wars and conflicts and danger now that this administration has been responsible for creating because we don't have a strong leader. It's pretty clear that the family urging him on, including his all of a sudden very prominent wife, Dr. Jill Biden, who has been ever present at all of his appearances and things for his entire presidency, but has not really spoken up much. Now she's been on The View. Now she's on the cover of Vogue magazine. It's the second coming of Edith Wilson. Edith Wilson was first lady under Woodrow Wilson during World War I in the 19 teens, first elected to the presidency in 1916. Woodrow Wilson, after negotiating terms for the end of World War I, which severely penalized Germany and really lit the fuse for World War II, which would occur 20 years later because of the unreasonable sanctions and crippling of the German society financially, economically, and culturally. That led to the uprise of the Nazi Party, and we know the rest of that history. But Wilson, on the return journey to America, suffered a severe stroke, and for the 1920 election happening in November, basically the entire year of the final year of his term, Woodrow Wilson was bedridden, had very little cognitive ability. Edith Wilson wouldn't let anybody see the president. Basically, if anything came over for him to review or sign, she took care of it. You're starting to see Jill Biden trying to assume the Edith Wilson position, history repeating itself as it always does. She is not qualified. Dr. Jill Biden is a teacher by trade. She was working for the Biden family as a tutor for their children or whatever. And that's when the affair between Joe and Jill began turned into her being the first lady of the United States. But she is not qualified on any level. And of course, Hunter Biden was there to urge his dad to stick it out, because Hunter Biden, brother James Biden of the president, the whole entire Biden family has used Joe as a cornerstone enterprise to sell influence and make millions and millions of dollars and compromise Biden decision making in office, because he's got those people aren't going to just fork over millions of dollars if they don't get something in return. So you have to ask yourself the question, how much of our foreign policy is at Joe's insistence? And but the fact that they're on the hook for all the money that they've collected, which is no longer a allegation. It is an absolute fact. There is boodles of evidence, 25 shell company bank accounts for money to be channeled into, millions of dollars distributed to the Biden family, all the way down to the grandkids. They have bank accounts that $1 million contributions show up in. The bottom line is this is a corrupt president. This is an incompetent president. And now it's a mentally incapacitated president. I'm just about out of time. So I did want to say that all of the angst you're hearing from the left, all the Democrats saying that yesterday's Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity is the end of everything. This is going to be the most disastrous thing. Donald Trump can now get back in office and do anything he wants. It's going to be it's cats are going to be with dogs, and we're going to have, terrible cataclysms throughout the earth, because they basically just gave the keys to the castle for Donald Trump to declare him king. It is so overblown and so stupid. If you read the decision, the Supreme Court did what exactly it needed to do, because in the Constitution, it wasn't addressed directly. The president's ability to conduct his office without fear of being sued or criminal liability. It was implied, it was suggested. And the reason they could not define it was because there was a lot of political, once again, and ideological trauma in the writing of the Constitution, where a lot of people wanted to create basically a monarchy, just like the European countries they came from, either have a king or a queen with those kind of, full sweeping powers. And there was another branch that said, no, we came here to set up a government, a representative government for the people. So they couldn't really get in definitive terms. They depended on two things: the integrity of the leaders that assume those offices, and what I mentioned before, the common sense of those leaders to have enough integrity and credibility to execute the office of the presidency to the best of their ability, and their decision making be unchecked in pursuit of those I use pursuit. I was going to use it twice in trying to achieve those pursuits is what I was trying to say. And so all the Supreme Court did yesterday was say, look, the president has wide ranging immunity on any decision he makes as long as it's official acts on behalf of the country, on personal acts or unofficial things that the president might do, that immunity doesn't extend. It didn't give carte blanche, as these people are suggesting, because again, their commentary is 1,000% political. It's all about keeping power. It's all about keeping Trump from getting back in the White House. All of this stuff about a dictatorship, and now he's going to have the complete ability to do whatever he wants. There's still the checks and balances that are in government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch. Everything is in place. All the Supreme Court did yesterday was saying, yes, official acts are covered by immunity, or a president would not even be able to act. It would just be a guy that occupied a chair and went to functions and welcomed sports teams to the White House for championships. It would not be giving an executive the ability to make decisions and establish policies on behalf of the country. So don't buy all that. It is not a monumental decision. It was just a clarification without specifics, because the lower courts will still have the ability to determine what's an official act and what's not. And I'll have to prove it in court if they bring charges like some of the ridiculous charges that have been brought against former President Donald Trump. So we've been wide ranging here. We've talked about a lot of things, but it's going to be fascinating to watch in the next couple of weeks what's going to happen, because the Biden family are urging Joe to stay, continue, because he is their cottage industry. And Dr. Jill Biden is liking being in the limelight, being the de facto president right now, getting her due finally. Somebody who's completely not qualified. But with all that being said, I hope that clarifies some things that you have witnessed this week. And we will continue to follow it for you with common sense approach and give you the facts. Because again, I don't have any political agenda. I'm not running for office. What I'm for is you and myself and my children and your children and grandchildren. I am for America and Americans, and anything that threatens that from either political party or any of these players around the world, the George Soroses, the people pouring millions of dollars into the efforts to topple this country, I am adamantly against, and I will always be a voice of common sense and reason, and most important, accuracy when you tune in to this show, Need to Know on TKR. Have a great week, everybody. Keep the faith. The despots, the people that are trying to do things to you and yours and your country, always overplay their hand. It's consistent throughout history. They've done it this time, and now it's time to pay the piper. We're going to get this country back on track, and it's going to be bigger and better and more amazing than ever before. Keep the faith. That's the important thing. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a fantastic 4th of July. Happy birthday, United States of America. Be careful out there. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.